How do we handle seasons of suffering? What do we do when we feel like the pain is stacking up? Where do we go with it? And does God even care? Today, we'll talk about it.
Recovery can be hard, but it's worth it. There is hope knowing we can find healing one step at a time with Jesus and healthy community. Whether you're struggling with a hurt or a hang-up or a habit, you're not alone. During this podcast, we share real stories, practical tools, and powerful truths that inspire you to keep moving forward. No matter where you are on your journey, there's hope ahead. So stick with us as we walk this path together through Celebrate Recovery.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Hope in Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast where we talk recovery conversations and life change stories to help keep us moving down our road of recovery and healing as we walk closer to Jesus and to each other. Really excited for today's episode, sharing some stuff that I know that the Lord has been churning in my heart, and hopefully it's beneficial to you as well. And speaking of beneficial to you, if you're getting something out of this, please drop us a like, comment, subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, give us a thumbs up there, and help share this. It really helps to get the message out so that more people can find the same healing that we're finding in this incredible process of Celebrate Recovery. And also, if there are topics that you're thinking through that you'd love for us to talk about on here, please drop us an email, cr@fellowshipnwa.org, cr@fellowshipnwa.org. We'd love to hear what you're thinking and your ideas, even if you want to shoot us a note and say, hey, thanks, we appreciate that as well. But let me go ahead and introduce myself. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I struggle with anxiety and depression, sexual addiction, and grief. And my name is Andy. And I've got the great privilege of being able to help lead Celebrate Recovery at Fellowship Fayetteville. And I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life through Celebrate Recovery and is continuing to do all across Northwest Arkansas with Fellowship, Northwest Arkansas Celebrate Recovery at Rogers, Bentonville, Fayetteville. And so today, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that has been stirring around in my heart. It's how do we step into seasons where we feel like there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering that may be going on? You know, many of us, whenever we walk in to Celebrate Recovery, there's a lot of pain that we bring with us. All of us have a story. All of us have things that have led us to the behaviors and coping mechanisms that are going on in our life. And I know for me, one of the really hard things for me was being honest with expressing the pain that was going on in my heart and my life. And, you know, so all of us have pain. Part of walking in this world is experiencing pain, because this world's broken and we're broken people living with a bunch of broken people on this world. But there tends to be seasons that happen in our life where the pain feels a lot more acute. And sometimes those seasons last far longer than we want them to. It could be that there's some sickness going on in your life or in a loved one's life that's going on. It could be that you see someone struggling that's really close to you, a loved one that's maybe battling some sort of addiction or compulsive behavior, and it's hard to walk through. Maybe there's some own things that are going on in your own life. Maybe it's a struggle that you're personally battling, and you're at this point where you're like, God, what is happening? Like, why can't I seem to get past this? Why am I continuing to cause pain in my life and in the lives of those that I love? It could be any number of those things, but how do we lean in to those seasons when we feel like there's a lot of pain? And I know for me in my life, I think I can tell you a lot of the wrong ways to do it. For me, I think my struggles with pornography, my struggles with relationships, my struggles with alcohol were ways that I tried to escape and exit my own pain. I don't want to feel what I'm feeling here, and so I'm going to eject out of my pain. And that is never super effective in our life. And how do we deal with the pain that's going on? Well, the Bible, what I love, gives us a lot of different examples of how we can deal with the pain that's going on in our life. Whenever we crack open God's Word and look into it, what I love is that it doesn't shirk away from hard topics. The Bible doesn't back down from the reality of pain and suffering. And I love, recently I ran across Psalm 13. And this is a great example of what we would call an imprecatory psalm. That's your big word of the day. But really what it means is that it's a psalm where we are lamenting and frustrated about the things that are going on in our life, or a psalm of lament as well. And this is the psalm, Psalm 13. It says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." Now, that's not all of the psalm there, but that's most of it. And what I love is this is a psalm of a Bible character named King David. And this is a prayer that he has towards God. And I love just the gut level honesty. How long, Lord? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt like, Lord, this is taking forever? That's something that my kids tell me all the time whenever there's stuff going on. Like, hey, you know, we're gonna do this tomorrow. My son will look at me, but Dad, that's gonna take forever. But sometimes in our pain, that's what we're feeling. This is taking forever. How long, Lord? And you can almost feel, you can feel the despair, and you can feel the frustration in David's voice there. He goes on to say, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And I love that because it normalizes a lot of the feelings that we can feel in seasons of long suffering. God, where are you at? God, what are you doing? God, I am in pain, and I've been in pain for a long time. What are you doing? I love that there's a principle that comes out of this, and I think it's so applicable for our recovery, is that God is not afraid of our wrestling. God is not afraid of our frustration with the pain. In fact, he allows us to bring it to him. Sometimes in our pain, we can feel angry at people that are hurting us or diseases that are hurting us. Sometimes we don't have a face or a name or an object to direct that frustration at, and sometimes we direct it at God. No matter what it is, God is big enough that he allows us to bring that to him. We can look to God and go, God, how long? Are you going to forget me forever? Where are you at? What are you doing? And I think that's the first step of how do we deal with pain in seasons of extended suffering, is that we just get gut level honest with it. Do we grab an accountability partner and just go, hey, look, I need to process this. I need to get this out. I feel like God doesn't see me. And if you've got a good accountability partner, if you've got a good sponsor, they're going to let you dump. How long? And so being able to get that out. And I love, he on that same note, David goes on to say after that, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Have you ever felt like in your suffering and in your pain, you're just ruminating on your thoughts again and again and again and again? It's good to name those thoughts in our suffering and in our pain. Even if it's just, God, I'm angry, or God, I'm numb, or God, I'm angry that I'm in pain. Those are good things to say. They're good things to get out because it helps us start to organize the pain that we're feeling. So often in pain, it's so disorienting that I know for me, there's been a season in my life as I'm watching my dad in hospice and it's disorienting. But being able to name the pain and name the emotion and honor it, give it space to breathe and come up and be heard, that's actually a stabilizing thing for us. And so what are those thoughts that we're wrestling with? What is the sorrow in our heart? He goes on to say, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Where do I feel like I'm just failing right now? Where do I feel like I'm not who I want to be in this? Name those things. And then it goes on, and he says this, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. What I love is that it starts to turn the corner here. And I think in our sorrow, it's so important that yes, we need to be honest with the pain and the anger and the sorrow, but we don't just bring the sorrow up just for the sorrow's sake. We're bringing it to someone. We're organizing it for a purpose. I love David just says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. And you can feel even just some of the bite in that. God, where are you at? Look on me, answer. But that's what we're doing with our pain, is going, God, speak to me in this. And I think an important thing, just zooming out a little bit, is that it's important to do this initially, but sometimes in grief and sorrow and suffering, we do this as a daily practice. It gives us an ability to kind of grieve on a daily basis so that those things don't stay stored up. Oftentimes, in my pain, there's grief, there's sadness, there's anger, all building up. And when I don't give it voice, when I don't give it the ability to be seen or heard, it's like I'm blowing up a beach ball underneath the water. And every day as I am just taking what life is throwing at me, and not processing it and not organizing it, not taking it to God and go, God, this hurts. It's like I'm blowing air into that beach ball as I'm trying to hold it underwater and I'm keeping it under the surface. And I can hold it underwater for a little while maybe there's a little bit of air in it, but eventually it gets to the point to where I can't keep it under anymore. And I hit a day where one of the waves of life hits me. And that ball pops up and it hits me in the face and everybody else that I love. And so sometimes this practice of lamenting, of being honest and giving voice to our pain, it allows us to actually grieve well. It allows us to suffer well as we bring it to God. So look on me and answer, Lord my God. And a sentence in this vein that I write down in my journal is, God, what do you want to say to me in this? God, what are you doing here? But Lord, as I'm bringing this to you, how do you view my pain, God? What do you want to say to my heart in this space? And that's a really important thing to bring up because God has a lot to say in our pain. But even if he feels like he's silent, he's still with us in it. What's great about this psalm is that David's not just shouting at the ceiling. He's having a conversation with God. The same God that is right there present with David is the same God that is right there present with us. He's not leaving us alone in there. Jesus tells us in Matthew, as he's leaving, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he says, "Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." God is with us no matter what we're going through. So look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep the sleep of death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Expressing what's going on in our heart, bringing God into it, asking God to respond. I think that's one of the first basic things we do when we're encountering hard seasons of grief and sorrow and long suffering. Now, the second part, or the next part, is where we start to turn the corner. And we'll talk about that right after the break.
Hey friends, a lot of people find the process of starting recovery scary because they aren't sure how to begin or what to expect. The easiest way to get started is simply to get started. Just take that next right step and go to a CR meeting. Every Friday night, we have our Celebrate Recovery meetings at Fellowship Fayetteville and Fellowship Rogers. At 6 p.m., we have a great meal for connection with other recovery brothers and sisters. Then we meet for large group at 7 p.m., followed by open share groups at 8. Same schedule on both campuses, different teachers, different worship teams, but the same great experience. We'd love for you to join us this Friday night. It's never too late to start or start over again. For more information, go to fellowshipcr.org.
And we're back talking about what do we do when we're in long seasons of suffering. So we talked a little bit before, kind of using Psalm 13 kind of as a model for us. We talked about expressing what's going on. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? What are these thoughts that I'm wrestling with day after day? Where do I feel like I failed? How's the enemy triumphing over me? God, what do you want to say to this? Lord, give me wisdom. Give light to my eyes. I need you. Expression, asking God to intervene. But then probably the most powerful thing comes as we look at the last two verses of Psalm 13. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, I want to lean into this part gently because I know how hard this is for me, especially in this season of my life. But I love David's example for us in this. God, how long? I feel like you're forgetting me. You're hiding your face from me. All day I'm wrestling with my thoughts. I've got sorrow in my heart. God, I need you. Answer me. I feel like if you don't, then I'm toast. But I trust in your unfailing love. That phrase right there is so loaded. But I trust. I will trust. And I think this is so important to know the character of God, the character of the God that we're praying towards. I'm reminded in Isaiah 42:3, it says this. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And I'm bringing this up for a reason, because that passage in Isaiah 42:3, it is actually talking about Jesus. It's talking about the nature and character of the Messiah that would come and save us. Jesus, our higher power that we trust in this recovery process and in this life of following Jesus. Who is he? He is a God that tells us a bruised reed he won't break and a smoldering wick he won't snuff out. It's a call to the gentleness and kindness of God, but specifically the gentleness and kindness of God towards souls who feel bruised and damaged and wounded, to souls that feel like their flame is burning out, to souls who feel like their resilience is growing thin. God doesn't look upon people in that condition and say, I'm just going to break it off. He doesn't see a flame that's barely burning and go, whatever. No. God will not break the bruised reed. He won't snuff out the smoldering wick. He sees us in our pain, and his response is to move towards the pain, not away from it. See, that's the character of our God. Elsewhere in Psalms, it tells us that he is near to the brokenhearted, that he saves those that are crushed in spirit. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It tells us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the book of Romans chapter 2, it tells us that God's kindness is what leads us to repentance. When you look in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that because we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, that is not unable to empathize with us in our weaknesses, but was tried in every way just like us, yet he didn't sin. Therefore, let's come to God's throne of grace with mercy, or with confidence that we can find mercy in our time of need. And that's just a few smattering of Bible verses that I've heard throughout the years. But the reality is that it paints a consistent picture across the totality of the Bible, that the God that we serve, that the God in whom our recovery rests upon, is a God that moves towards pain, not away from it. It's a God that is active and present in the pain, that it's not meaningless. He's a God that sees us in our suffering, and his compassionate heart is drawn out to us. That is our God. And in fact, David in Psalm 13, where he says, "I trust your unfailing love." That unfailing love language is actually a part of the nature and character of our God too. You see, it's the word in the Hebrew, which is what the Psalms was originally written in, is this. It's a Hebrew word that is hesed. It's a type of covenant-keeping love. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? It means that it draws out a type of love that does not break. It draws out a type of love that does not give up. It draws out a type of love that never leaves us on our own. It is the never giving up, never stopping chasing us, unending, unyielding, unbreakable love of God. When we're in seasons of long suffering and sorrow, when we feel like the pain has been great for an extended time, when we feel like we're grieving things and we don't know what to do with the pain, and it feels like the pain isn't going to stop, we have the love of God with us that truly never will stop, that never will give up, that will never yield in the face of pain. I trust in your unfailing love. That's true no matter our circumstance. And the reality is that the circumstance that is in front of us, even though it feels like it may last forever, it won't. It will come to an end. This too shall pass. And even if it goes on far longer than we want it to, we have a God that is going to go further with us. You know, one day, when all of this is over, we will spend eternity with our God. And there, ultimately, there will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. There will be no more suffering. And that's a good thing. And the reason why we can trust in that is because of the hesed, unfailing love of God. But it doesn't stop there. God, I trust in your unfailing love. For us, here's the principle. Can we allow ourselves to come back to trusting who God is in our pain? Can we remind ourselves that God is near to the brokenhearted? He does save those who are crushed in spirit. Can we trust that? Can we take that in? Can just a small part of us believe that? Or at least try to believe that? This is who God is. He is this. And then it goes on to say, my heart rejoices in your salvation. And for me, I look at that and I think to myself, God, this is hard and I feel like I don't hear you in this. God, remind me of the ways that I've rejoiced in you in the past and how you've come through. You see, God's past faithfulness is the reason for our present confidence in him. So God, where have you been faithful before? Where has my heart rejoiced in your salvation in me? Or how have you done incredible things in my life before this? And allow that to fuel gratitude. In the midst of pain, it gives us such tunnel vision towards the thing that is right in front of us. But God is doing something good today. Gratitude is so key to our recovery. It's a key part of walking through seasons of long suffering. In fact, I'm convinced that you can't walk through grief without gratitude. And so, how can you thank God today? Are you breathing? Can you walk? Can you listen to this? If it's hard to find something big you're grateful for, just keep slicing it thinner until you can find something simple and allow yourself to be grateful for that. And then the very last part of Psalm 13, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Praise. Worship. The reminder and the declaration that he has been good to me. His kindness is present in my life. Somehow, some way, he is here. And by the way, that's why we worship at Celebrate Recovery. One of the reasons why we worship at Celebrate Recovery is because it is in worship that we sing the praise of the Lord, even in the midst of the pain. Because what we sing together every Friday night as we get together on the Rogers campus or the Fayetteville campus is the truths about God, about how he sees us, about how he loves us, about how he enters into our pain. Worship is so important. And I know it's hard. And sometimes we don't feel like singing. But that's why it's good sometimes to be next to a brother or sister who can sing. Because maybe they can sing for me a little bit tonight. So all of that. I know we've talked about a lot. And I also know just on this, as we're talking through this, there's people that are listening to this right now that maybe you're in a season of long suffering. Maybe you're in a season of sorrow. I know I am. Can I just encourage you with this? Even though it's hard to see him, even though it may be hard to trust it, God is with you. God does see you. God does care about your pain. You don't have to run from it. You don't have to hide from it. You can bring it to him. Bring your anger, bring your sadness, bring your mourning, bring your grief. Lay it at his feet. He's big enough to hold it. And he actually tells us in the book of Matthew, blessed are those who mourn. Why? For they will be comforted. Bring those things to him. And then, if it's hard for you to get yourself to those places, get around other brothers and sisters that can walk with you in that spot. Every week at Celebrate Recovery, we've got people that would love to walk with you, that would love to help you find healing and wholeness. And as you're walking through whatever it is you're walking through, know that this isn't the end of the story. God is with you, and he's doing something in this. Thanks for listening today. I know this has been a little bit different than some of the episodes we've had recently, and I know that there may be some heaviness as we're wrapping up our time together. Let me remind you of what it says in Psalms. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those that are crushed in spirit. We can bring our pain to God because his love for us really, truly never ceases. It's never failing. His mercies are new for us every morning. And so we can take the words of Jesus with joy, where he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And as we walk this journey together, as we bring those things out into honesty and out into the light, God does something in it. He allows our heart to turn to him, and in that space, he changes us. And if you're needing a place, we'd love to see you every Friday night, 7 o'clock, Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers. God bless.
Every time you said pain,